is, my Father will love us. That's the way you get into God's love. And I will love him. I'll love him too. And will manifest myself unto him. Then Judas saith to him, not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. You want God to love you? You obey Jesus and keep his words. And it says, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If we'll keep Christ's commandments, me and the Father will love him, and we'll come and live in him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, that represents the Father and the Son, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, my authority. He don't bear the name of Jesus. He comes in the authority of Jesus. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And he goes on, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. When you love God, you have the peace of God. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again to you. If you love me, you would rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it come to pass that, when it is come to pass, you might believe. There the Lord is speaking to his disciples, and he had a reasoning behind staying in the love of God is manifold, and that is, you're not going to have joy, you're not going to have this great peace that God gives unless you are in the love of God, unless you know that God loves you. And that's something we've got to ascertain and determine for each of our own individual selves. You can't let somebody else tell you, hey, I believe you love God. I believe God loves you. There's a Voice of Prophecy broadcast, comes from California, Seventh-day Adventist. HMS Richards, Jr. When he winds up, I want to tell you something before I leave. God loves you. Now, that's a bonehead. He ain't talking to everybody God loves. If that's true, then the Bible's not true. Now, Jesus talked to a bunch of fellows here in John the 5th chapter. Take a look at this. Verse 42. Well, let's start up a little first. Let's back up just a bit. In verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. If you have life like the rich young ruler, you're going to keep his commandments. Take up your cross and enter into that love. He said, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I know you. You don't have the love of God in you. God in Christ has got to dwell in us for us to have the love of God. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we got to remember a lot of things in determining the fact of the matter, whether God really loves us as an individual or not. John 3:16, God so loved the world. He looked upon the masses of humanity and he loved the world. But the Bible still tells us plainly that God can hate and God can love, and God does hate and God does love. He has individuals he hates. He has individuals he loves. But collectively, he loves the world. And he reigns on the just and the unjust. That love compels him to be fair. God's fair. God is fair. God don't mistreat anybody. When he gives somebody a working over, it's because of their rebellion or their stinking superstition, like over in Africa, what's happening in Rwanda and surrounding nations. Them people are given to devil worship, witch doctors, superstitions, and all that kind of foolishness. And God gives up on them. Read that in Romans 1. After that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into a creature like man or beast or four-footed creeping things. And God gave them up. Well, that's just what's happening in many areas of the world. And it's going to happen right here in America. There's going to be areas of this country. It's going to be absolutely devastating with storms and floods and drought and terrorism and all kind of plagues. Even it tells you about the two great witnesses in the first part of the tribulation period of 3.5 years in Revelation 11. It says they're going to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And they're going to cause it not to rain in the days of their prophecy. And if any man will hurt them, fire will proceed out of their mouth and devour their enemies. It ain't going to be that way everywhere, but it's going to be that way a lot of places. And television is going to carry it to the world, and they're going to see what's going on. Why do you think God got this TV out here? Why do you think God let man discover the airwaves could carry pictures as well as voices? It wasn't just to fool people and deceive them and everything and entertain them into hell like they got on TV today. He's got a crisis arising in which he's going to get the message to billions on this planet at one time. At one time. It's been impossible, but God, with God, nothing is impossible. Praise God. That TV is going to carry the message of these false prophets. It's going to carry the scenes of those areas where they call plagues on, where they fire comes out of their mouth and devours their enemies. It's going to be right there on TV. And the world's going to watch them. And the world's going to have an opportunity to get into the love of God if they choose to. But then, when they do not believe, 2 Thessalonians 2 declares, when they do not believe the truth that these two messengers of God, these two ambassadors, these two diplomats that come from God Almighty, when they teach and preach for 3.5 years and men chooses to believe the lie of the Antichrist and the false prophet that will be preached on one channel and them on another, then the Bible says God will give them a strong delusion. And they'll believe the lie of the false prophet and they'll be rejected completely. God have mercy sakes. We're living in a time when God is dividing the chaff from the wheat. He loves some, he hates some. These queers going around here wanting the spatial rights. President like we got and his wife in the White House and all them stinking queers and lesbians around him. You think God loves that mess? He hates it. And he's going to show his contempt toward it here in severe judgments. In Romans, the 5th chapter, it's a great scripture here. Romans 5:5. He said, "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And then, going down just a little bit further in verses 8 and 9. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God's love was reaching out when he had Christ crucified. And he said, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." God commendeth his love toward us. His love, when people cannot sense or discern God's great love and look up at that cross with Christ dying, they do not comprehend the love of God, and there's no way for them to get into the love of God. There's a lot of boneheads that can't see the love of God on that cross. They criticize it. They scorn it. They blaspheme it. They reject it. Well, what choice then does God have but to give them a reprobate mind and reject them, put a stamp on their soul, rejected by the Holy Ghost? Boy, there's millions of Americans going around with rejected written on their souls. But I tell you what, God puts a mark on the people that love him too, and he's got another mark for them that don't. And I'm thank God I'm marked. Praise God. Paul said, "Mark them which bring divisions among you, teach things contrary to sound doctrine, mark them." But he also said, "Mark them that walk among you and teach the truth. Put a mark on them." Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, God had a man with a writer's inkhorn. And an angel spoke to him and said, go through the midst of the city and set a mark on every person that's sighing and crying for the abominations that's being committed in this city. And then he spoke to 6 men with slaughter weapons in their hands, said, now go after him, and everybody don't get the mark, that they're sighing and crying and with these abominations, these old queers and lesbians and fornicators and dope addicts and everything.